to Your Right to Speak, discussions on child rights and advocacy. This is episode 10. I'm your host, Sammy.
And I'm your other host, Josh.
Today, we'll be talking with Megan, who is a colleague of mine now. Megan, would you like to please introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Megan, and I'm a recent graduate from Humber College. I did my bachelor's degree in child and youth care. During my time there, I also worked with a group called Making Noise at HSF. We were a gender-based violence awareness group who just provided resources and a safe space for students to talk about like healthy and unhealthy relationships and human rights and oppression and stuff like that. I also worked as an intern at Urban Alliance on Race Relations.
So today we'll be talking with Megan about her thesis from the degree program at Humber, Child and Youth Care. And correct me if I'm wrong, but your thesis is around Section 42 of the Criminal Code. 43 of the Criminal Code. And you did a discourse analysis on that, right?
Yes. So I really just took Section 43 of the Criminal Code of Canada, and I kind of looked at the language that was being used in it. So I took words and phrases and really broke them down to kind of show how and where they could be misinterpreted and kind of could be manipulated in child abuse cases. So like, for example, my question kind of was on how Section 43 of the Criminal Code, the language that's used in it, can leave children vulnerable to child abuse, potentially.
So what were some of the things you found in your thesis?
The main theme was that it's very inconclusive and it's a very controversial topic that's probably never going to come to a conclusion. The way I wanted to approach it was take other pieces of legislation and policy and kind of compare it to Section 43 to see where there are some incongruencies and some contradictions or where it kind of aligns, and also look at arguments that support corporal punishment, arguments that are against it, and just to kind of look at where it stands in society right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I read through your thesis in your paper, and I liked how you compared the Charter of Rights and Freedoms to the Criminal Code, because here we are clearly saying that, well, but children don't have this right to security based on the Criminal Code, which doesn't make sense, because you would assume that the Charter Rights and Freedoms is supposed to be applicable to all people within Canadian borders. Mm-hmm. And yet here we have two pieces of legislation that aren't really working together. They're actually against one another. Mm-hmm. And you question, it's like, and I saw that, and it's like, well, then how are people not questioning, you know, Section 43 more?
Yeah, exactly. And there seems to be this struggle I found within the literature and other legislations between parental rights versus child rights. And there is still this notion that a child is the property of the parents rather than being their own individual person. Mm-hmm. So another example of where it was kind of incongruent was even within the UNCRC, how it's talking about security of the child and everything. But then it also says that there needs to be respect for parental rights. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, their parental right is the use of corporal punishment as a disciplinary action.
And I will always say that actually the Convention of the Rights of the Child is probably the most problematic pieces of legislation for children, because I'm sure not a single child was involved in the making of that piece of legislation.
Exactly.
And I'm sure if we sat down a room of, let's say, 100 children, and we said, you have an option, you do something wrong, your parent can either talk to you about it and come up with some form of punishment that makes you learn from it, or your parent can smack you and spank you. Which one? I'm sure children aren't going to be like, I think I'm going to go with option B. And that's what's funny. And so that just goes to show you, like, in terms of discourse, like, who's making this dominant discourse? It comes back to so many times we've talked about adultism. Mm-hmm. It's adults and parents creating these documents without actually saying, like, oh, maybe the Convention on the Rights of the Child should be made by actual children and children who have experienced this, not parents who think that this is a mechanism, because it's a mechanism of control. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be clear, it's not a mechanism of learning.
Yeah, and we are constantly telling children that they have rights, mm-hmm. but we're not telling them how to use them or where to find them and how to get involved in the creation of them, which is what you, like you said, is one of the main problems.
Well, and I think it's because they have rights as children, not as people.
Yes.
Right? And and we've talked about this before, because, and that, for example, voting age. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if we got rid of the voting age, children would be treated very differently, because we would now have to treat children as citizens who would, at a certain point in time, be able to understand that a system is in their way, mm-hmm. and would vote according to those barriers, mm-hmm. right? And so then we would have to form legislation, policy, procedures to win children over, mm-hmm. for example. But mm-hmm. we don't have to do that, because, hey, your voice doesn't matter till you're 18 years old, mm-hmm. Is what we said, at least at policy level. And it's just problematic, because, like, and if you read the Convention of the Rights of the Child, it's mostly just saying the same rights that adults have. Mm-hmm. So why do we have to specify it's children?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I think we have to be careful a little bit too, right? Because I don't want us to, or societies, just kind of go back in time where children were kind of seen as adults.
Mini adults, yeah.
Yeah, mini adults. And that was problematic in itself with all those issues, right? So I think it's, like you raise, and I agree with everything you guys are both saying, but I think it's kind of in that gray zone, right? We get sticky about it. We can't, I believe, yes, children should be included in policies and voting age should change and all that, but I think we have to be careful not to kind of go back in time.
You have to be careful, though, because talking about discourse and using discourse analysis, children and adults, that did not always exist. That was probably not always a part of our language.
Yeah.
That was created for a particular reason.
Yeah.
Discourse is about power and power analysis with language and symbolism. So we know that when we divided adults and children, when we actually divided them, was when we actually pushed children out of the workforce. And that is when talking about children, because before, children weren't really discussed as children. They were discussed, like, if they were doing something wrong, and they were, like, terms like hooligans or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, so I really wouldn't be moving backwards saying, because I would actually say at this point in time we should be seeing children as adults based on the amount of information that they are able to access, because it's not, technology has allowed, for example, a four-year-old to say, I know that I'm trans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you went back 40 years ago, that would not have been a thing.
So
these children do have more of an idea of how to be an adult, essentially. They just require support financially, mm-hmm. And in any other well-being way. Mm-hmm. So I actually think that we should maybe be moving towards, how about instead of seeing them as adults, just seeing everyone as citizens and should be included, mm-hmm. along every process. Including, for example, how they are punished.
Mm-hmm. And kind of, like, bouncing off what you were saying, I wouldn't necessarily see it as kind of going back in time, but kind of more adapting to how the times are changing. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, they have more access to information, like the growth of social media, mm-hmm. and how the age of children accessing social media is, mm-hmm. continuously going down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much as going back to pushing them into the workforce and,
mm-hmm.
referring to them as adults, but just kind of adapting to how the times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, just kind of seeing them more as citizens rather than the properties of the parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because, like, these laws were made in your paper said, like, in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not acceptable that this law is still so long standing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know it's controversial because, this was also part of your paper, for cultural reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? And however, some cultures have spoken up and said, well, these weren't always a part of our culture. This just came with colonialism,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and then the colonizers left and then said, and now, you know, people from various cultures are coming to, for example, other colonized lands like Canada, and they're still using those practices. Mm-hmm. But then you have the Canadian government saying, like, that's wrong. And it's like, well, you just taught you didn't teach, you forced upon a group of people and communities that this was a way of learning, and then, mm-hmm. you just left, and they just kept using it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that that's an issue, and I also understand that, and especially in child abuse cases, it's actually particular people who get nailed for child abuse when it comes to this kind of thing, and it's usually racialized individuals, mm-hmm. That are having their children taken away because they use too much force or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
the reality is it's used in quite a few homes. Some are white, some are straight, some are LGBT homes, some are racialized homes. And I just think it's time that this kind of policy it shouldn't exist anymore. Because part of your argument is you're legitimizing violence. Mm-hmm. You were saying, I can be violent as a way of getting my point across.
Yeah, and it kind of goes into like a circle of learned violence. Whereas, like you said, the child sees, okay, this is the way of communicating, this is the way of settling a dispute. So they may take that knowledge that or experiences that they had as a child and utilize it in the future, whether it's in their own relationships or with their own children, or even just not even the use of corporal punishment per se, but the use of violence in trying to settle an argument or something.
Well, and like, for example, what would happen if that child hit back after being hit?
Exactly.
Nobody knows because
The
assumption is that only the child can be hit. But why not the parent? What if the parent was being rude?
So,
what if the parent forgot the kid at school? Which happens? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Like, 2 minutes late.
Is it okay for the kid to be like, "All right, like time for you to take a learning," right?
Yeah.
But like, it's funny because no one would think of that. Like, I remember throwing my mom under the bus. I remember my mom tried putting soap in my mouth when I was younger, and I spat it at her. Never put soap in my mouth again because I was just like, "Why are you gonna put soap in my mouth? You're like, this is not how you're gonna teach me something." So she learned in that moment that we're probably not gonna use soap in the future to make Josh learn, right? And so I think I said something bad. Meanwhile, the curse words my mom uses, you don't see me running after her with the bottle. Come here, right? Like, and it's just so funny because why are we using these tools as learning mechanisms if adults themselves are not perfect? Mm-hmm. If adults themselves do the same things, like swearing, for example, you spank and you put soap in a kid's mouth for swearing. Meanwhile, I know on a daily basis words coming out of my mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Why not it be that when a child swears, why don't we talk to them? There's a time and a place.
Exactly.
And sometimes those words aren't good because when you say this word, it can actually hurt this person. Mm-hmm. And when you say this, people could think you actually mean this.
Mm-hmm.
Why not that be the conversation? Because I feel like if kids knew that, for example, they'd be like, "Oh, so that's why I'm not going to say that at school," mm-hmm. because my teacher's going to think this of me.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate, and what I'm about to say is not everything that I... What I'm about to say is nothing that I agree with, but, you know, there are... this is a topic that not everyone agrees on, right? So...
I don't think one topic that everyone agrees on.
That's true, but, like, I mean, to me, this has always been I've always been interested in this topic, so, okay, I'm just making the listeners know this is not my opinion. I'm just being devil's advocate here. What happens if... Not what happens. What would you say to the parents that say we use corporal punishment to teach our kids not to run around with scissors? Or, like, how about if that is their preferred parenting? That, because I can see parents, I've talked with parents that have said children today are too laid back. Like, we allow them to do everything and... There's issues with that. So what would you guys say to those parents? Because, I mean, that parents nowadays do say that, right?
So I have heard that. This is probably just my own biased opinion because me, myself, I was never spanked as a kid. And I like to think that I turned out to be a well-rounded, respectable adult. But I understand what you're saying, but... My thing with it is, are the children being told why this is happening, or are they just being spanked and saying don't do that? Like, I feel like there's a difference between spanking because you're aggravated or because they're really making you mad.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, if a child goes to touch a hot stove and you kind of smack their hand away and say don't touch it, like, that's hot, you're gonna hurt yourself, I feel like that's different from yelling at them and spanking them.
Exactly. So, I think what's happening is we're confusing parenting, okay, because parenting is one thing. So when you parent, you're supposed to teach, you are supposed to support, And you're supposed to nurture. So that's parenting to me. And then there's when the parent loses control. Mm-hmm. And that is what we're talking about. The child running around with the scissors, the parent has lost control of that child. Mm-hmm. The parent is angry. Because I'm sure no parent is like, please come here. Now receiving spank, right? Like, it's not about, I guarantee you, no parent's like, oh, I love you. Child. They are angry. So what's happening is the parent is actually taking out their aggression. Right? Mm-hmm. And that is a problem because this is what is in your thesis, because that is what's coming across mm-hmm. to children.
Yeah.
Children are seeing that it is about the aggression and that when the parent wants to gain or maintain control, aggression and physically displaying this aggression, because aggression isn't necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. If we can verbalize it and then come to a conclusion, that's a good thing. But to physically display and violently display aggression is very problematic.
I feel like there's a difference when it comes to this sort of thing between discipline and punishment. Mm-hmm. Whereas like discipline is, you're righting the wrong, you're talking mm-hmm. with them, you're making sure that they understand mm-hmm. what they're doing is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Whereas punishment is, like you said, taking out your anger and your frustration on mm-hmm. the child for making you angry.
So what happens then if a parent would say, okay, I spank my child, but I also sit down with them and explain to them what they do wrong?
You don't get to have it the best of both worlds because we are still talking about a younger person who does not know yet that when they actually reach a certain age, if they physically just show aggression, they can go to a certain institution. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's the problem, because when we talk about this, like we talk about this with jails, we talk about this when we isolate people, when we legitimate violence against people, nothing I have never heard anything positive coming from violence, really. Like, okay, people are going to say, like, wars, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But on an individual, personal level, I've never heard one person say, yeah, me getting punched in the face or me getting spanked, that was a learning moment for me. Mm-hmm. No, right? Like, And the reason why it continues to happen is because of dominant discourse of children, right? So the dominant discourse right now is young people have it so easy. Tell it to the full-time employment that I don't have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell it to the 2 degrees that I'm going to be having to get in order to right? In order to hopefully get that job.
You're not I have it happy easy. About my future, Josh.
No, that's the thing. Whereas my mom, she got a full-time job with benefits with 2 years of college, right? And that is no way me saying that college education is not important. All forms of education are important. But she was able to get that with 2 years of education, 2 years of education back in her day. So actually kids do not have laid back. And what's happening though is kids are because of their access to information, they're trying to find out who they are earlier than what was expected. Mm-hmm. We always say teen years is when kids are figuring themselves out. It's not happening in the mm-hmm. teen years anymore. It's happening like mm-hmm. a lot earlier than that, like the age of 10 now, right? So, and that's what parents are having to mitigate is the kids can get away with anything. Sorry, you can't beat your kid with a stick anymore, but like your kid is actually finding out who they are earlier, and instead of hitting them, you're actually supposed to support them and have a conversation with them. Because I was thinking about this today. I teach swimming lessons. I've been teaching swimming lessons for years. Not once have I hit a kid. Why? Because I'm not allowed to, and I never would. I never would. Right? If a kid is being angry or if a kid is not listening, I sit them on the side. That is as far as my punishment goes, aside from me kicking them out. Now, usually if I have a conversation with that kid, I find out that they're actually just really tired and they don't want to be in the lesson. I find out that they've been coerced by their parents to do something that they don't want to be doing. I find out that maybe their friend said something that really hurt their feelings and they're not in this space, right? And then I'm supposed to mitigate that. That's my job as the adult, as we've termed, right? Mm-hmm. But that's my job as a person who's able to understand that people are situated in their actions, that their actions mm-hmm. come from a context or a situation. Mm-hmm. And for example, corporal punishment assumes that children are rational actors, meaning that they'll get hit once and they'll rationally not do that again. My guess is that if you've been spanked, you've probably been spanked more than once in your life. Which tells me that spanking doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So my question to you, Megan, is let's say we get rid of this section in the criminal code. Are there any ways that you think that we can stop this still happening at home? Because I can see that if we take away this and we're doing all this education and whatever we need to do for parenting, how do we make sure it doesn't happen in the homes anymore?
Well, we can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's the same with the extreme of child abuse.
Yes.
It's always going to happen.
Or like say intimate partner violence.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Yeah.
Anything behind closed doors, you can't always be 100% positive that it's never going to happen. And even like I wrote about in the thesis, there have been attempts to abolish Section 43 of the criminal code. Mm-hmm. And all they could do, they said that it couldn't, that they basically said that the arguments had no merit, and they laid out these boundaries of
of how you can hit your child.
Yeah, basically, it's basically a guideline of how to spank your child.
Perfectly spank your child.
And even that is extremely, even the boundaries they gave are extremely gray.
Yeah.
Like one of the arguments that I was thinking of, I actually don't remember if I wrote it. I was rereading my thesis, and it's always hindsight where you're like, oh, I should have added a point in here. Was one of the guidelines that they added was that the child had to be between the ages of 2 and teenage years. What does that look like?
So until they're 20?
Yeah. Like, and even if physically, yeah, they fit in that age range, what if there is some sort of cognitive development delay with that child? Mm-hmm. Like, where do they fit in that range? We can't define that in any way. So I understand that this legislation may never be abolished, but if you're going to have it, at least make it safe. Don't leave it up to the interpretation of the parents.
What advice, and maybe we can talk about this a bit, could we give parents who maybe have used corporal punishment in the past but want to stop doing that? What advice can we give them to kind of break out of that, or any tips or anything? Because maybe that's all the parent knows on how to discipline, right? And that's truly all that they know. So what advice can we give to them and say, okay, you can do this instead of that?
That is a solid question. I feel like the one thing that's not the one thing, but something that is missing from this whole disciplinary act is the communication with the child. And I feel, and I think I wrote about it too, was that when using corporal punishment, not the only positive effect that was in the research, but one of the main ones that it kept coming back to is immediate compliance. Mm-hmm. And that is the only positive outcome for corporal punishment. One of the negative was that they are not getting proper cognitive development that they need because they're not having the communication behind the violence, and that's where the learned violence comes in. So just, there are other methods of disciplining your children, and a huge factor of it that can be utilized is just the communication with the child. Make sure that they understand that what they're doing is wrong or it's not safe, and explain it to them. Like, they are human beings too, and they might not be able to completely rationalize everything depending on their age, but I feel like there's more risk with corporal punishment than there is gain. So it's kind of like, how much are you willing to risk in just from spanking your child?
I think it's also important to remember that if parents are, like, let's say stop spanking and all that, not to use other things that could negatively impact the child too. So using food as a punishment, right?
Yeah.
Right, stuff like that. So I think it has to be more awareness and education on the parent side on how to be, I don't know, not good parents, but
I'm not a parent myself, so I really don't feel like I can go in and tell people I'm a parent. But
that's what bugs me, because we have a piece of legislation that says go out and parent like this if you wanna. And my piece of advice for parents who want to use corporal punishment or don't and don't understand, who are in confusion of what to do, is just to think of not of what it was like when they were a child, but think of what it would be like now to have someone hit them because they did something wrong, right? Because most often, when we do something wrong as people, we want to be told we've done something wrong, for one. So sometimes we don't know we've done something wrong. and that is the number one factor, by the way, that leads children to doing something wrong, is that they don't even know, mm-hmm. right? Or they didn't know that it was such an impactful thing that it deserved a spanking, right? And so first, I think parents need to situate themselves as a person who has done wrong before and think about, man, like, this is what I did when I did something wrong, and I'm sure if this person hit me, one, I'd probably call the cops, right? So then you think about, why is it okay for me to hit my child then? Mm-hmm. If I know that if my friend got mad at me and they hit me, I would call the police. And then I think parents, in that moment when they're about to spank, is to take 10 seconds, take a deep breath, and think about, why are they doing it? Are they doing it because they're angry, mm-hmm. or do they wholly believe that the child will learn from this? Because compliance and learning is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. No. Compliance is about control. Learning is about well-being. Mm-hmm. And those are two separate things. And honestly, that's all corporal punishment does, is gain compliance. Mm-hmm. But then let's see how compliant your kid is when they're bigger than you, mm-hmm. right? So, and you have a choice. Do you teach your child to be aggressive, or do you teach your child? Because the one thing is, like, let's say a child does something wrong, and you sit them down, and you be like, look, did you know that this was wrong? If the kid says no, then problem one, boundaries haven't been set with this kid. You haven't made it clear what they can do. So the kid says no, you set the boundary. Then you talk to them about why that boundary exists. What does that kid learn? One, that people can do things without knowing it's wrong, and that kid shouldn't get mad at people who do things that he might see, or he, she, them might see as wrong. And then that kid learns as well that after the boundaries have been set, talk about why that boundary has been set. Mm-hmm. Wow, doesn't that sound like that's gross and learning? Yeah. Or you can teach the kid to go and hit the next person who makes them angry and make that person compliant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's up to parents.
I think it's also an education piece too for parents, right? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of parents, I feel that's all they know, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was spanked as a kid. Mm-hmm. European, all Europeans are spanked as a kid, okay? It's very much part of that culture. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my CYC training has allowed me to see beyond what I grew up with, right? But mm-hmm. if I wouldn't have had that, I mean, who knows? Maybe I would have thought corporal punishment would have been okay. So I think I think parents need some sort of education or something to kind of break that cycle, because some think it's fine.
Yeah, and I don't want to put everyone who uses corporal punishment or who has been spanked as a child, I don't want to throw everyone into the same box.
Yeah, because, as an aggressive person.
Yeah, like I said, I was never spanked and I turned out okay. Some people haven't been spanked and they turned out to be disrespectful or whatever. Some people were spanked and turned out okay. Mm-hmm. So I really don't want to throw everyone into the box, but all I wanted to point out was that there is this risk, mm-hmm. and is this risk worth the immediate compliance?
Well, and even we have to remember, like, for those of us who have been spanked, to think about what it would have been like when our parents were kids, like, the whole rule of thumb thing existed. Yeah. That was very problematic for wives. So and see, because that's when parents say, like, you know, you got it better than I got it. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad that's where we're setting the standard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, oh, good. Where is it going with this? I got lost in that. But, like, in terms of education, the education should come from kids. What if mm-hmm. okay, parents, you're going to sit down with your kid for an hour, and your kid is going to just talk about what happens when you discipline them this way, right? I'm sure parents, like, and most parents, actually, I say, when they get confronted with it, they get angry, mm-hmm. right? They get angry immediately because they're having their ability to parent being attacked. Mm-hmm. And that is a scary thing for parents. But you cannot solve something until you accept that it needs to be solved. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that's the biggest crutch. You can educate people all you want, but if parents are not willing to admit that is not a healthy way to parent, then they will not listen. And I think that's the problem. And I think this message is, like, this doesn't necessarily make you a bad parent, but it's not a great way to parent. Mm. And there are other ways to parent, to make your child understand these things. And I think that's what's important. And again, that come from kids. And I think at a policy level, kids should be more included when when laws that say kids can be hit can be made, because I'm sure if there was like 10 children in that room, there'd be a riot.
And
they're being told that they were going to go home possibly get spanked by the parents.
No, I agree. But we are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? I know. I mean, I love this topic. It's one of my passions.
I could keep talking for like another hour. So stop me now.
Maybe we'll have you back on as a guest, because I do think this is an important conversation that's not being talked about, and I think we need to continue it. I do have one last question for you, which I ask everyone, and Josh knows it's coming. What does advocacy mean to you?
I feel for me, advocacy is providing support and resources for people in order for them to learn how they can help themselves. And that might not completely make sense. This is how it works out in my head. It's just, I love the saying that, you know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. And I feel like the best form of advocacy that we can provide is through education and helping people learn how to, if they need something, like being there for them and providing them the support and the resources, but making sure that they have the tools that when we can no longer be there to help themselves and pass it on to other people.
I think that's a good way to end. Do you have any last words?
Well, thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Do you have anything else to say, Josh?
I do not.
Okay.
Well, that's a first.
So
come for me.
Thank you, Megan, for taking the time to speak with us today. Your right to speak will be posted on the second Wednesday of every month. If you are a child or youth that would like to be on the show, or if you have any topic ideas that you think we should be talking about, please email me or Josh at yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. That's yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. Let's raise awareness together.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.